WHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. At least three Americans are among the dead in Turkey and Syria, where a massive earthquake has killed close to 21,000 people. But CBS's Chris Livesay tells us there's still hope.
We were just told that a teenage girl managed to send a text message to a friend telling her she was still alive. Now, this was just after the earthquake, and so far there's no sign of her. But that's why these rescuers are just furiously removing every piece of rubble they can, just like they are in so many other places across this earthquake-stricken territory.
President Biden has promised voters that he will protect entitlement programs.
In Tampa, President Biden doubled down on his vow to protect Social Security and Medicare while accusing Republicans of planning to cut funding for the programs.
I know that a lot of Republicans, their dream is to cut Social Security and Medicare. Well, let me say this. If that's your dream, I'm your nightmare.
Republicans say Mr. Biden is mischaracterizing their proposals and intentions.
We aren't planning to cut Social Security, and because I called him a liar on the House floor, we settled that issue right there at the State of the Union.
That's CBS's Nicole D'Antonio reporting. House Democrats, meantime, want George Santos booted from Congress.
He's lied about 9/11. He's lied about the Holocaust. He's lied about his education. He's lied about his career. And as we all know, just recently, he's been now given classified access to important information and classified information that he should not have.
California's Robert Garcia there. Their resolution isn't likely to hit the House floor. Back in Washington, Southwest Airlines admits that it messed up when it canceled thousands of flights around Christmas. But Captain Casey Murray with the Southwest Pilots Association says this is nothing new.
For years, our pilots have been sounding the alarm about Southwest's inadequate crew scheduling technology and outdated operational processes. Unfortunately, those warnings have been summarily ignored by Southwest leaders.
Leaders want more accountability from Norfolk Southern for a toxic train derailment that forced evacuations in Ohio. East Palestine Mayor Trent Conaway.
We're going to hold their feet to the fire. This is going to get swept under the rug. I'm not going to be the country bumpkin that gets, you know, talked over by a big corporation. We're going to hold their feet to the fire. They're going to do what they said they're going to do, and they're going to protect the people of this town.
The company's handing out bottled water as state regulators test water sources. More legal trouble for Alec Baldwin today. Attorney Gloria Allred suing on behalf of a cinematographer's family who was killed on a movie set in New Mexico.
We filed a lawsuit today alleging battery, intentional infliction of emotional distress, negligence, and loss of consortium. Loss of consortium is a claim which seeks to recover compensation for damages to certain relationships that are mutually dependent.
Baldwin's also facing involuntary manslaughter charges. This is CBS News.
Attention business owners. Stop throwing your hard-earned money away on rent. Imagine owning your own building and saving thousands every year. Sound impossible? Not if you use General Steel. General Steel can help you save thousands by owning your own custom-designed building. Just call 888-98-STEEL or visit buygeneralsteel.com to see how much money you can save with General Steel. Our buildings come with a 50-year warranty, and thousands of companies, from Fortune 500 corporations to startups, have trusted the General with their building needs.
If you need to expand or start a new business, you really need General Steel.
I'm very impressed with General Steel. Everyone's been extremely helpful. I'd recommend General Steel to anyone looking to build a steel building.
Stop wasting money on rent. Call 888-98-STEEL or visit buygeneralsteel.com to find out what General Steel can do for your home or business. That's 888-98-STEEL. Our team will answer your questions and offer you a customized quote. Just call 888-987-8335 now or buygeneralsteel.com.
Amid word of layoffs at...
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. First responders rescued 11 people stranded on an ice floe in Door County earlier this week. Five adults and six kids were stuck on a large sheet of ice on Green Bay, just northwest of Sturgeon Bay. It happened on Monday. The Coast Guard is urging people to be careful when going out on the ice, especially with fluctuating temperatures on the Great Lakes. Remember, no ice is safe ice. The Republican-controlled legislature has the power to anonymously delay or permanently stop stewardship projects in the state. If conservationists or the state wants to purchase land, certain thresholds need to be approved by the legislature. Governor Tony Evers wants to increase the threshold and not allow objections to be anonymous. His budget will also contain more money for planting trees, combating invasive species, and job training in clean energy and conservation. In sports, the Badgers beat Penn State last night, 79-74. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 13. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 24. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows dip down to about 12 tomorrow night. Dry and much warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 38.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Buju relatives. Robert Pilot is actually out today, and this is Ogama Ginuakwe here with you on Native Roots Radio. And we have a special edition of Native Roots Radio tonight. We've got a wonderful guest host, Robert Lilligren of the White Earth Nation, who is the executive director at the Native American Community Development Institute. And we're doing a Get to Know NACD Day. And Robert has graciously invited people from his organization and some of the programs that they run to come and talk today about the work that they do. Robert, why don't you go ahead and take it from here?
Yeah, bonjour, Ogama, bonjour, Nanuinagandarak. It's so thrilling to be here. I'm honored to be guest hosting. Of course, I could never fill Robert Pilot's moccasins, but I will do my best to get us through this. And I'm just thrilled to talk a little about the work that we do at NACD, Native American Community Development Institute. We have two of our incredible staff members, John Williams, who's our development director. We also have joining us a little later on, Angela Two Stars, who is our All My Relations Arts arts director and just a rising star, really, has an international reputation as an artist herself. And so she'll talk a little about her work at NACD and All My Relations and a little about her work as an artist. And you know, NACD is such an unusual kind of organization. We are an asset-based community development intermediary. Our job is to support the Native communities into realizing our own vision for ourselves. And we work authentically in community through our projects and programs. Then we work in the systems change around policy, boardrooms, things like that. And so so one of the thrills I have doing in my daily work is that I get to work with incredible Native professionals like the two folks you're going to hear from tonight. So I'll just move on introducing our first guest tonight, and his name is John Williams. And maybe I'll just sort of step back. He's the development director at NACD, and maybe I'll just ask him to talk first a little about himself or just introduce himself and then educate us about what a development director is and does, please. Welcome, John.
Hi, Robert. Hello, everyone. How are you? Thanks for
having me. Very good.
Oh, good. I'm so impressed, Robert, that you're a radio host. It's so great to see the different facets of your personality.
Well, and you may not even know this, but there was a brief time I was actually a professional radio host, an on-air personality, following in my father's footsteps. He had quite a career on the radio.
Oh, you know, I think I remember you telling me that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm John Williams, and I am an enrolled member of the Cheyenne River Tribe of South Dakota. My mom is full-blooded Lakota and from Rosebud. My grandpa was from Pine Ridge, but at the time of enrollment, we were up at Eagle Butte, and so we are enrolled at Cheyenne River. I'm sure that's not an unfamiliar story to many people.
Right. It is. Right. Enrollment can be kind of arbitrary.
It certainly was. So, yeah, I grew up in a big family, Robert. We have 6 brothers and sisters, 24 nieces and nephews, and now 26 great nieces and nephews. So just a big Indian family from South Dakota. We're spread all over the United States now. Frankly, I can't keep track of everyone at this point. Too much for me. But I love all of them very much. And there's just a strong Native family.
Great.
You asked me to talk about what a development director does. And,
You
know, I think everybody can understand. I think that term development, you know, does that mean community development? In the context that in my role, development means raising funds and developing the organization. And so my primary role at NACDI has been to write all of our grants. We have a large percentage of our budget every year that's funded by philanthropy. And so writing grants is a big portion of my job. But I also work with all of our individual donors, our corporate donors. We have contracts with the city, state, and county that I administer. Really looking at the overall financial health of the organization, working with the board and the CEO, who is Robert, on making sure that our programs are well funded, looking towards the future. Development is a long view job. You really have to be looking at the organization for 5 to 10 years and really think about that. And I think, Robert, with your leadership and our collaboration, I think we're doing that really wisely for NACDI. I think we are, in your words, strategic regulated growth, so we don't get too big too fast. That can be overwhelming to small organizations.
Right.
And we are a small organization. However, we do so much work. We are authentically in community. Every week, it seems, we're doing something. And so that makes my job easier, Robert. I am able to tell story. I work collaboratively with our directors. Angela Two Stars will be on the show a little later. She's incredible to work with. She has vision for what All My Relations, not just the gallery, but All My Relations as an entity and as an arts organization can do and should be doing for Native artists. We're really protective of Native artists and we advocate for them. Our food.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to get a little, hear a little bit more of your story. And John and I are sort of close in age. John, I'll tell you, he had a presence here in Minneapolis before he went back and changed his journey. And I'm guessing just because of what you were up to, what I was up to at the time, we were probably in the room together way back when, but we cannot put our fingers on having met back in the 1980s or 90s. But if you can just tell us a little about your journey, how you got here, and what got you interested in development work?
Please. Sure. So I grew up in Sioux Falls, and I wanted to get out of there as fast as I could in the 80s. You know, South Dakota is conservative, and I was a queer Native person that just wanted to be in a more metropolitan, accepting area. And I moved up to Minneapolis in 1988 to attend the University of Minnesota and loved going to school. But I got involved in the arts right away. And you and I talked about our friends at Ballet of the Dolls, Myron Johnson. And I was their manager for a couple of years. And
I love that. And so this show has a pretty broad listening audience. So folks who don't know Ballet of the Dolls, they were an avant-garde ballet company here in Minneapolis, very high profile, very well known, but they really pushed the envelope on ballet.
Oh, we did. And we had our annual Nutcracker, which was a sellout show from the very beginning. It starred Barbie and Ken. Just a really funny, tongue-in-cheek, avant-garde, really wonderful company that that Myron led. And I was lucky enough to be part of their journey for a few years. But that's how I got involved in development, Robert, was just by being stage manager and helping with box office stuff, I was like, how do we make all of our money? How do we do this? Because the box office can't pay for everything. And was right. introduced to MRAC, the Metropolitan Regional Arts Council. And at a young age, I think I was 20, Robert, 20 years old, I started writing grants for Ballet of the Dolls. And I realized the importance of relationships. I realized the importance of funders and of individual donors to make the vision come alive. That was really a key turning point for me because I have a liberal arts degree, but I got involved in nonprofits and saw the struggle, the scarcity mentality.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Dave and John, we're just in our final moments here. This, if you could stick around for a few minutes into the next segment, that would be great.
Oh, great.
Okay, cool. And this is Robert Lilligren. I'm guest hosting for Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake. And we're talking with John Williams, who's our development director at Native American Community Development Institute. Coming up in just a minute, in a bit, will be Angela Two Stars, our All My Relations Arts Directors. Please stay with us.
And this is Ogamugginuakwe. I just want to remind everybody this portion of the show is sponsored by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. We'll be right back.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Metro State University invites you to explore how to grow your knowledge and advance in your career at their graduate program's Preview Day, Saturday, February 11th. Learn about more than 25 master's degrees, graduate certificates, and doctoral degree programs. Meet our extraordinary faculty and discover resources available to help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/previewday. Change the world your way. Metro State University.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this is definitely live radio, and I'm not Robert Pilot. This is Ogamugginuakwe, and I'm here with Robert Lilligren of the Native American Community Development Institute, who's brought along John Williams, their development director. And we are talking about some of the history of NACD, how Robert and John both got involved with NACD, and we're really excited to get to know people from NACD and the work that they do here today on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I do want to let everybody know this portion of the show is sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and the National Day of Action and Remembrance for our Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives is February 14th. So make some plans.
Yeah, Miigwech Ogama, and it's great to be here. This is Robert Lilligren, filling in for Robert Pilot, trying to fill in for Robert Pilot. But with his little voice part there, it's almost like he hasn't left us. So and we're here with John Williams. We're featuring the work of the Native American Community Development Institute this week. NACDI is an asset-based community development intermediary that works in South Minneapolis, shepherds the idea of the American Indian Cultural Corridor here on East Franklin. And John is incredibly important. He's our revenue guy, and he's incredibly talented. And I just felt so blessed to find someone like John to come and work at NACDI. And excellent Native development people are kind of few and far between. And so I've been told I found a unicorn when we hired John at NACDI. And he had such an interesting journey. He was touching on his journey in arts early in his life, and then his journey went on. And so, John, I wonder if you could just continue with your personal story, please.
Sure. So I worked in the arts in Minneapolis in the late 80s, early 90s, and then I worked at the public television station, Channel 2, as my title was senior specialist, but it was like associate producing for the organization and raising money and doing corporate proposals. But home beckoned me back, Robert. My family at that time, this was 20 years ago, really needed me. And so I applied for jobs in Sioux Falls, and I got a job as the grant writer for a large national nursing home chain. I don't know what they were thinking, hiring a person to take over their long-term care efforts. I got into healthcare. And that was just a complete 180 from what I'd been doing. It was so complex, and long-term care and home and community-based services for elderly just really grabbed me. I thought, because my parents were aging, and I know you've had this experience, Robert, but how do we keep people independent and successful at home as long as they can? That was a big focus of my work there. Yeah, and then I started working in substance abuse and mental health services. And again, that was another area where there just was a dearth of services in South Dakota. There was really little for families to tap into. And so I worked for the National Alliance on Mental Illness for 7 years, their South Dakota chapter, and building strong communities and getting education and training to communities that the stigma is so strong around mental illness. And what NAMI does very effectively is it's a peer-to-peer approach. Everybody's a volunteer that trains the classes. You have to identify in the group in which you're being trained to deliver the training and then to support the community. So that was really great. So I've had this mix of arts and then healthcare. And with the pandemic, we eliminated my position at NAMI, and I was looking for work. And one of my longtime professional goals was to work with a tribe or a Native American organization. And your posting popped up. I couldn't believe it. I was just, I thought, this is perfect. And I had no idea if I would be competitive. And then when I met with you and Ed, it was just wonderful.
Yeah, thanks. And when I hesitated to post that job. I was really committed to hiring a Native development person. I was scanning the horizon to see who that might be. You know, I didn't pick you up in my scan. And so when I posted, I was thrilled when I received your resume.
Yeah. And so now it's been almost 2 years, Robert.
Wow.
Yeah, almost 2 years. And we've been really successful. The thing about development, as I said, it's a long view job. And one of my bosses, Dr. Chuck Hyatt, said to me once, and this has stuck with me for so long, is you overestimate what you can get done in 1 year, but you underestimate what you can get done in five.
Interesting.
I believe that's our arc here, is in 5 years, I think there's going to be, I don't know if I should say this, but maybe a building for NACDI, maybe.
Oh yeah, that's on the horizon.
Maybe more programming. It's just a really exciting time to be part of NACDI because we have so much trust built in the community. I think people really look to us. They know our programs. They trust them. They turn out for them. I think people know the programs a little more than they know NACDI, the entity. And I think that's something we're solving by kind of explaining that we're the asset-based community development engine that powers these programs, these great Four Sisters, Make Voting a Tradition, and All My Relations.
Yeah, another great thing that John did for our organization is he really connected storytelling to fundraising. And we now have a team, a function, storytelling. John and another NACDI staffer, Alex Buffalohead, have been leading a massive website redesign and to try to co-brand more of our projects and programs. And that's been a huge effort. We'll be launching that during American Indian Month here in Minnesota. So I'm looking forward to this spring. So looking forward to that.
Yeah,
it was that connection, the storytelling that was really critical for us.
It's the only way to reach people. You really have to tell them how their dollars are impacting individuals. And we do that so well. I just think of so many stories that we've shared about artists and people working in MVAT and our farmers and our vendors at the Four Sisters. So yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to this website. We want people to be able to really explore all the things that NACDI does, get involved, learn more about us, learn about our impact. So I'm really thrilled about investing in that tool.
Yeah, you've just done amazing work, and I'm so grateful. I can't wait till you're actually up here. John does not live here in the Twin Cities at this time. He was interviewed and hired during the COVID era, so we didn't even meet in person for a while. He has integrated into the community here. You're chairing the board of an organization. I don't know if you wanted to say a few words about it.
If there's time, I would love to talk about Minnesota Fund. We are, I'm on the board. I'm the board chair this year. And Minnesota Fund is a community development financial institution, a native CDFI.
So it's like a nonprofit bank, right?
It's like a nonprofit bank. We're federally regulated. We're a lender. And we accomplish our work through a loan fund and education and training. So we have credit enhancement loans that go up to about $5,000. We have consumer loans that go up to $20,000. And then we have business loans that go, we're just able this year to accommodate a $150,000 business loan. And so with the intrepid leadership of our executive director, Kip Fordham, we've just done incredible work. So if anybody needs help with their finances, coaching, education, please check out minnesotafund.org.
I just want to clarify for our listeners on the radio too, that's Minnesota, M-N-I-S-O-T-A, fund.org. It's spelled the traditional Dakota way. Just so when you go looking for it, that you can find it. It might not come up if you search it the colonial way of spelling Minnesota.
Right.
Very good point. Thank you, Ogama. Thanks. And it's a great organization. It's really fills a niche here. John's doing great work there, and I'm thrilled that he's engaged in the community here. The growth of even the Minnesota Fund, right? It came out of a cluster of financial literacy programs at one of our other, our community development corporation, American Indian Community Development Corporation here in Minneapolis. It was so successful and filling such an important role that it spun off into its own nonprofit that then grew into the CDFI, the nonprofit bank that is Minnesota Fund today. Great resource for the community.
All of that sounds so amazing. That's so needed in Indian country, both in the metro and in the greater state. And it's just so good to hear that we have those types of resources available.
Right. And growing and strengthening. Yeah, John.
Please, people, tap into those resources. Directing artists from our family of people to, you know, think about.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Mid-State Technical College will have a new metal fabrication program in their fall 2023 degree options. They are including the program to meet growing local demand for skilled manufacturing professionals. This 29-credit, one-year technical diploma will include a variety of lab-based, hands-on classes. It will utilize state-of-the-art equipment used in local industry. The program will be a part of the new Advanced Manufacturing Engineering Technology and Apprenticeship, AMETA, Center when it opens in the fall of 2024. School lunches may soon be healthier, but more expensive for parents. The USDA is proposing new rules to cut down on high amounts of sodium and sugar. This would eliminate many prepackaged convenience foods and allow schools to replace them with healthier foods made from scratch. Experts say the cost is worth it. Healthy school breakfasts and lunches have been shown to improve test scores and decrease negative behavior. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 13. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 24. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows dip down to about 12 tomorrow night. Dry and much warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 38.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. To As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
65 and Fridley, croonersmn.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Ogama Ganua Kwe. Robert Pilot is off today, but we have Robert Lilligren of the Native American Community Development Institute standing in as a wonderful guest host for us. I just popped in to let everybody know that this portion of the show is sponsored by the Native American Community Development Institute, and we are so happy to have them on for a special Get to Know NACDI episode of Native Roots Radio. Robert, why don't you introduce the next guest?
Yeah, Miigwech Ogama, and thanks for all your support and help doing this. And, you know, as I said earlier at the top of the show, I couldn't never fill Robert Pilot's moccasins, but I'm doing my best. And I love this opportunity to talk more about NACDI's work and all my relations arts and to feature some of these brilliant professionals that I have the privilege to work with every day. And one of them is our next guest, who probably needs no introduction, but she is our All My Relations Arts Director, Angela Chustar. She's assistant from Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate. She's been with NACDI about 4 years now, I think, something like that. And in that time, her career as an artist has just taken off, especially a public artist. She has an international reputation, which we'll talk about. And then following that, we'll talk a little more about her work specifically at NACDI. But first, I thought I would ask Angela to please introduce herself to the listeners and maybe talk a little about her work. And we'll get into some specifics as well as we go. Angela, welcome.
Hi, Robert. Good evening. Thank you for inviting me to join you tonight.
Thanks for coming.
I'm sorry, it's the evening, and so the kids are, you can hear the kids.
Oh, I should have put that
I'm going off to do, and there's one right there. That's the life of a working mom, I tell you.
Right. I should have put that in your introduction as well.
You get a little, I let them know, I said, I'm doing an interview, so you need to be quiet. Sorry about that. Yeah, so I'll probably get interrupted one more time, but just to share with everybody, like, thank you for having me tonight. My name is Angela Chustars. I'm an enrolled member of the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate, and yes, I'm the director of All My Relations Arts. I've been with NACDI since 2018, and it's been a very long relationship with NACDI. My first exhibiting as a professional, like practicing artist, was an exhibit at All My Relations in 2016, where I was then invited back to be part of the closing reception, and I got to interact and network with other artists and professionals, and it really brought an opportunity for me to work in public art. And I just continued to grow with All My Relations. I was invited to curate an exhibition about missing and murdered Indigenous women, which opened in 2018. And so NACDI has just been such an integral part of my growth as an artist and a professional. And so I'm very happy to be in my role now, where I get to kind of come full circle and promote and share other upcoming, emerging artists, kind of in the same way that I was supported.
And I love that you bring that history up. And I just think it's such a perfect example of NACDI sort of living its mission, its best mission. NACDI is about building capacities at the community level, group level, and the individual level. And we apply that to our own staff, right? And so we are here to develop the careers of Native professionals and to support Native professionals, arts professionals, and others in their careers. And I feel like your journey just really, really lifts up NACDI living our mission. So I was hoping we could talk a little about your work as an artist, as a public artist, and you've had a number of really high profile commissions around the Twin Cities. And I know that you also so teach. So I wonder if you just wanted to say a few words about some of your public artwork and that trajectory, that part of your career.
And it looks like you're on mute still. Yep. Oh, there it is.
I was waiting for the. Okay. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry.
For those who can't see, Angela has children walking back and forth behind her.
So. Yeah.
With two doors, no less, to go through.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so my public art career started actually through an introduction at All My Relations Arts. I was interested in the B'day Makoska Public Art Project because it was honoring my ancestor, Machpiawi Chasta. And so I reached out to the Alma Relations staff and said, do you know more about this? Because I just want to get to know the people from this project, because this is my family and I'd like to get connected to more people and know more about Cloud Man. And I wasn't really contemplating, you know, public art. I wasn't familiar with it. And so they reached out to the project manager, the staff at NACD, and invited that project manager to come to that closing reception. I was able to be introduced to her. And that is what sparked me thinking like, oh, why don't I apply? So I did, and I ended up getting selected and had an incredible, you know, incredible time working with Mona Smith and Sandy Spieler. And it brought me back to Minnesota, you know, as a descendant whose ancestors were exiled from the state. I came back home after, you know, over 150 years in exile. And so it's been really rewarding to be able to return to my homelands and have that strong connection with the land, with the language, with my culture. And it's really advanced my growth as a public artist. I've been working with language revitalization since about 2015. So I incorporate a lot of the Dakota language in my artwork. And it's been creating a healing journey for me as an individual, and I share that in my art. So I had a piece. I was selected by the Walker Art Center for the Indigenous art selection in 2019. I had created a piece. I designed a piece that was inspired by my grandfather and his work in language revitalization, and it was selected as the commission. And so I was able to have that piece permanently installed in the sculpture garden in 2021. So it's been really wonderful for like representation, like to have a native artist in the sculpture garden with the Dakota language, kind of reinforcing to all the audience that comes that, you know, the Dakota language is such a important part of our identity as a state. Many of our, you know, city names, town names are Dakota words. And so it's been really rewarding to be able to share of my identity and culture and language, you know, to both a native and non-native audience, and opening up about how that separation that happened with our, you know, like two generations previous, or even, you know, one generation ago, like how we are healing that separation by reconnecting with the language, and it creates this healing effect. And so for me to share that kind of vulnerability and openness about my own experience, I think allows other people to relate and connect to that too.
And I think that's so profound, and I think that you do it beautifully and authentically. And for folks who might be listening in different communities, Walker Art Center is one of our leading biggest non-native arts institutions. They have a large facility here, and then they have a sculpture garden, a huge sculpture garden, which a few years ago ill-advisedly built an artwork built on about called The Scaffolds, and it was built on the scaffolding to resemble the scaffolding where 38 Dakota warriors were hung. And it was really damaging. And so they took it down, the community organized, Walker took it down, and then went forward in a different way that brought Angela more into the public eye. And I'll just note that, you know, Angela started the project, or a first step was to engage her tribe and her family to purify the land that her piece would stand on. And it was a beautiful and moving ceremony that happened during the civil unrest following George Floyd's murder here. And Angela's relatives said, you know, there's so much pain. There were demonstrations going on all around the city at the time. And he said, if you can start healing here, maybe this healing can move out through the rest of the city. And it was just beautiful and really, really timely. So thank you for that. And thank you for the work that you do. And I'm just trying to check the time here.
Oh. Yeah, we've still got about 3 minutes left here, Robert. Great. And cool. I wanted to take a quick minute, too, to remind everybody that you can support NACD at NACD.org. That's NACDI.org. They have a donate button right on the main page. And you can also directly support All My Relations Arts by going to allmyrelationsarts.com. Or you can find them through the NACD page on NACD.org. There's an All My Relations relations link as well. And these are organizations that if you support them, your funding is going to go to some really great community projects. You really can't go wrong.
Me go ahead, Ogum, after that. And just in these final minutes, and I'm hoping, Angela, you can stay on for another a segment, and we can talk a little more about what's coming up at All My Relations Arts. And I'm wondering if you can just do a super short recap of some of the work that you have led to protect Native artists, that we help get them into these situations, get them these commissions, and then how we work to intervene and make sure that they don't get damaged by non-Native arts or institutions.
Yeah, I think, one of the biggest supports that I have is to have like NACD leadership supporting me using my voice in these spaces that weren't made for us. So to be able to have that strength and advocacy and knowing that my leadership, you know, encourages and will defend me and support me in that space helps me to be more confident in my voice. And as I'm a practicing artist, I'm familiar with what the artists that we work with are doing. And so I know the spaces they're in because I'm in them as well. And so I know, you know, kind of how to advocate and speak up for them and defend their work and, you know, share how equity in action looks like in these types of institutions. And, you know, working with BIPOC artists, you know, just kind of how that systems change work that we do at NACD, what that can look like. Is that like short enough? I don't know how much time we got.
That was really, we actually have a little more time, but that was brilliantly put. And I would just note, you know, we partner with organizations like our State Department of Transportation, MnDOT, the county and other really unsafe spaces for Native artists. And we sort of put ourselves between the organization and the artist so they can do what they do, right? And not have to be triggered by some of the trauma that can come from working with some of these organizations. And I gotta tell you guys, Angela does that brilliantly. We're so fortunate to have her here and to support her in that work. And so we wish for that. And so that's Angela Two Stars, the director of All My Relations Arts. She'll be joining us in the next segment as well. I'm Robert Willigan, the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, filling in for Robert Pilot. And we're just having an evening of sort of introducing the listeners to NACD's work.
And this is Ogama Ganuakwe. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back after these messages. We want you to stay tuned for a little bit more with Angela Two Stars and what's upcoming at the All My Relations Art Gallery here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. Stay tuned.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Thank you.
back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This is Ogamaganua Kwai. Robert Pilot has taken the day off, but we are here with our special guest host, Robert Lilligren. And I just want to let everybody know this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Thanks for not leaving me to howl on my own today, Robert. I appreciate that. We have wonderful guests here from NACDI, the Native American Community Development Institute. Robert, why don't you go ahead and reintroduce the guest?
Yeah, happy to. So our guest for this segment is All My Relations Arts Director, Angela Two-Stars. All My Relations Arts is a project of NACDI, and a big feature of our work is All My Relations Arts Gallery, which is one of the premier contemporary Native arts galleries in the region. And we're just so fortunate to have someone as talented and thoughtful and cultural as Angela Two-Stars as our director. So thanks again, Angela, for being here. And I want to take a minute to talk about a story that Angela shared with me recently about some work she was doing. She's a very busy and active person, and she was doing some teaching at a local university called St. Catharines. It's a women's university. And she was telling me a little about a particular project that I just thought was so beautiful and profound. So Angela, I'm wondering if you can just tell us that story, please.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm in an exhibition. It's kind of a duo exhibition with Jamie Black, who is the artist who is very well known for the Red Dress project that's, you know, started in Canada and was here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so St. Catharines brought us together to, because of our works around missing and murdered Indigenous women. I was the curator of Bring Her Home, and, you know, she has her Red Dress installation. And so it was my opportunity to create artwork as an artist, you know, as opposed to the work I was doing as a curator on the subject matter. And so I had this idea for this piece that was addressing trafficking and how trafficking is, you know, the buying of a product. And so rather than recognizing that these are women that are part of this, you know, business that is MMIW trafficking. So I created three woodcuts of Native women, and they represent the statistic that one out of three Native women will experience sexual violence in their lifetime. And they were, you know, black and white woodcuts. And then I invited this class of female students to think of a woman in their life who was significant to them, that they looked up to, that they admired, who had, like, you know, characteristics that they aspired to be like. And I asked them to hand color these women, to pick one of the girls off the wall and then hand color them and then write about that woman that they were representing through this design. And it was really incredible to see how these girls, you know, college university women were thinking about women in their lives that they admired and, you know, kind of wanted to become like, and that were, mm-hmm. that they were influenced by. And so then after they finished, they put their writing behind the women, the artworks that they made, because they're on magnets. And so say they just like stick right to the wall. And so now when the audience wants to purchase one of these prints, they will have to kind of challenge themselves. I'm like, I'm buying this product, but it's actually this woman who has a name, mm-hmm. who has a family, who has, you know, like significant qualities that somebody looks up to. And so it really kind of challenges the audience to contemplate that business that is like human sex trafficking. And I told these girls, like, you're humanizing these women on the wall. And that's what I wanted out of Bring Her Home, is for people to see women not as victims, but as people, as wives, mothers, daughters, you know, sisters, cousins, friends. And so that was what I wanted the audience to take away from the Bring Her Home exhibition. And so I finally had this opportunity to create work that was kind of speaking about that. It was like, it was the time for me to to do it. And it was just so amazing that what these young women did, and to have these rich conversations around, you know, our values, like how we should be treated as women, mm-hmm. How, you know, men have a responsibility, you know, and how they treat women. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to have conversations with girls who are kind of right at that cusp of their adulthood. And so it's like, hopefully it resonates with them as they move forward and how they should be treated and how they should value themselves.
That's just beautiful. They were very lucky to have you as an instructor and as an artist. And a couple of things that really struck me when we talked about this earlier, and one was that where these women, young women, are in their journey together, and that it's very early in the term, and so they didn't necessarily know each other that well. And you commented on how doing this work really built bonds. You could see it building bonds between these young women. I thought that was really something. And then when you were first telling me about the project, you had done your wood blocks, your three wood blocks. I didn't know that part about the one in three women, Native women, would experience sexual violence. So that was what you were basing that on. But then you told me that you invited them to take one of the women off the wall. And just the way that you said it, like, it just, you know, it was very visceral to suddenly, you know, to contemplate the plight or the challenges of an abducted woman, a missing, you know, missing Indigenous woman. And I just think that's just brilliant. You know, if you can make me feel that, just telling me that story, I can't imagine the impact on those young women you had in class. And then maybe with our final minutes here, Angela, if you just want to talk about your vision for the All My Relations Arts, the gallery, and what might be coming up with All My Relations Arts. Please.
Yeah. So right now we have a partnership with Hennepin Theater Trust, and the artists that are in that cohort, there's three of them with a mentor who are learning all about mural design. And so our gallery is now basically a working studio for those artists to apply those concepts directly to the walls, their technique.
And Angela, if I just mean, for people who aren't from Minneapolis, Hennepin Theater Trust owns and operates a series of theaters on our major entertainment venue in downtown Minneapolis. It's not a Native institution, and this is our second cohort that Angela has helped lead to indigenize their offerings in downtown Minneapolis.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a wonderful partnership too, so I'm really glad that we're continuing it. And so that is in the gallery currently, and then we'll be hosting an exhibition actually from Canada about this family who is tackling the subject of grief, you know, of losing a family member. And then we'll have a solo exhibition by Laura Youngbird, who's a very talented printmaking artist. And then our last exhibition for this year is going to be a river exhibition, because there's been so much conversations around the river with a lot of the works that is happening with different organizations in the Twin Cities. And so I was really thinking, like, it's a very vital and significant time to have some art that's addressing the river, which is a relative, and water is just so important to, you know, just our livelihood. So I'm really excited about the gallery season this year. And then we have, you know, partnerships to keep us busy, and advocacy work always.
Right.
It's great.
Yep. We do keep busy at NACD and All My Relations Arts. Again, I thank you for not just being here tonight, but being working with NACD, for your presence here. I think you have just done amazing things with your position. It's been a joy over these last 3 years to watch you grow and develop as both a Native artist and a Native arts professional. And I can't wait to say in 5 years, oh yeah, I used to know her, that Angela Two Stars, when you're on the late night talk shows or something. You are going places, Angela Two Stars. And it's so, thank you for letting us be part of your journey. Thanks for being here. That's Angela Two Stars, the director of All My Relations Arts. I'm Robert Lilligren, the CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute. Thank you, Robert Pilot, for giving me this opportunity to focus on our work tonight. Thank you, Ogama, for all of your support and being able to carry us through with the technology. So, Miigwech and Gigawaba.
Hey, Miigwech, everybody who tuned in tonight.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings.
With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news.